The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of KLAY or those who advertise their products or services on this station.
Welcome once again to Ask an Atheist, where reason is our co-pilot. My name is Sam Olvey, and with me today is Mike Gillis.
How's it going?
And Libby Mastretta, how's it going?
Hello.
And it is 76 days.
76 days?
76 days. We are less than, almost 2 months away, well, two months plus 12 days, I suppose, until the countdown to backpedaling.
Oh, man, I can't wait.
Countdown to backpedaling. If you guys aren't aware of this, and if you've been listening to our show, you should be. There's a fundamentalist Christian group based out of California called Family Radio, and they've been putting billboards up around the world declaring that on May 21st, Jesus will return like a superhero, wave his magic wand, and usher in the end times.
This has been extremely popular with our online viewers. We get a lot of email and some photos of where they are and the car art that's happening.
It's a bit of a Where's Waldo, where everyone is finding these billboards in multiple states.
And they're all over the place now, too. They're not only in states, they're overseas. They're showing up in other countries. It's amazing.
One of the associated organizations, as we found out on the show from Matolo, who has an atheist podcast in Spanish, is that it was in South America, it's in Puerto Rico, and then he showed us this Google map where it's all over the world. So.
Yeah, I mean, if this was a zombie plague instead of signs, civilization would have fallen.
So once again, 76 days, which is not the day that Jesus is supposed to return. It's the day after, when the backpedaling begins.
I like to think of it as the awkward silence that follows the lack of Jesus. That is going to be the time when they're going to have to roll out their tortured logic to tell us why nothing happened, or why it did and we just didn't notice.
Right. One thing we've learned recently through the email, is I forget who sent this to us, is apparently we have a time zone. Is that according to one organization, he's supposed to return at, was it like 7 p.m. or something like that, in Topeka, Kansas.
Kansas.
No, hang on. Is he returning in Topeka, Kansas, or is the person who has determined the exact hour of his return located in Topeka, Kansas?
I think it's Topeka time.
Okay.
Yeah, and Topeka, I believe, is the home of the recent Supreme Court winners, the Westboro Baptist Church.
So this is a really bad sign that he's going to return and declare this guy, Fred Phelps, as like a consigliere.
The
biblical, like, that guy, crazy man, he's been right the whole time.
The biblical evidence for Topeka, Kansas. There's tons of it. You know, Kansas appears how many times in the Bible?
Oh, at least
it depends. Are you asking a Mormon?
Fair point. And if you would like to get in on this conversation, we are at 253-584-1480. And our subject for today is you, in fact. We call this one Return of the Son of Emails. We have been getting a lot of interesting things in email, and we're going to address them today.
Absolutely. As you know, we do have a way to contest on our website. If you go to askanatheist.tv, push that beautiful candy-like red button, and you'll get a little window that pops up, and you can actually contact us, ask a question, make a comment, let us know what you think, and ask us what we think.
And here's a sample of the things that we have been getting on the web. And this is from Michael in Seattle, and he starts with Michael from Seattle here, strangely enough. I was wondering who you guys would think would win in a 12-man battle royale between, all right, here we go, Jesus, Patrick Swayze, Superman, Wilt Chamberlain, Tasha Yar, the Wonder Twins, Apollo Creed, a great white shark, Chuck Norris, the Fonz, Bigfoot, and Optimus Prime. I'm trying to figure out who I should worship. Thanks. Mike, this is for you.
I will actually try to answer this question seriously and say Superman. And also, I noticed an interesting thing, that nearly every person on this list has died.
That's true.
I think Wilt Chamberlain's alive, but Patrick Swayze is dead. Superman has died at least twice.
Optimus Prime has died several times, in fact.
Yeah, it's easy to resurrect a robot.
Yeah,
Tasha Yar died and came back so that the writers could give her a less chump death. The Wonder Twins are dead. Apollo Creed was killed by Dolph Lundgren.
Wait, Dolph Lundgren killed Apollo Creed?
Yes. He was actually he was playing the role of Dolph Lundgren, as he plays in every movie that Dolph Lundgren is in.
He gets typecast, you know.
Occasionally there's a slight accent, but he's playing Dolph Lundgren the same way that John Wayne plays John Wayne, and Mr. T plays Mr. T.
Okay. Fair point with you there.
Great White Shark, I guess you could say that was Jaws.
Jaws.
He died. He dies multiple times, and other sharks come to get revenge for him.
You had a suggestion, Libby.
Yeah, I have the answer to your query, Michael from Seattle. The one option you overlooked, Teddy Roosevelt. He could take any of them and all of them at the same time.
Apparently, Teddy Roosevelt beats all of that.
Yeah.
And like I said before, he could always come back as Uncle Teddy if he actually gets taken in battle.
He could, but he won't because he's Teddy Roosevelt.
All right, yeah.
That's a good question, though. It's one worth asking. So it's an important thing that we all need to consider when we're choosing how to align ourselves.
All right. Well, we actually have a call. Why don't we dive into this? And this is Donovan, who I think I was going to talk about earlier, because we met recently. And you're telling us that Jesus, apparently there's an article about Jesus returning on CNN. Are you with us?
Yes, I am right here.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I don't think I've quite talked to y'all directly recently because I'm in Mobile, Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Other Donovan.
I was reading CNN.com today, and they had a rather extensive article on the whole thing about the You Can Know campaign.
Right.
You're kidding me.
They're talking, they've got like three caravans of basically motorhomes going around the country, going to various spots and preaching their thing. And also talking about how they basically abandoned their homes and are sitting there thinking, well, if I'm still here on the 22nd of May, I guess I'm not one of the elect.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
That's getting sad. That is
full-fledged, the rapture for them will happen on the 21st. It's not just him showing up, but they'll be gone.
Okay, so they're saying that Jesus returns and the rapture happens on the 21st. And then there was some...
And that world will come to end in October.
Yeah, October 21st.
Okay.
This is... I'm actually getting a little bit concerned. The longer this stuff goes on and the more it seems to ramp up, I'm starting to worry a little bit about some of these people. I mean, it's all well and good to kind of poke a little bit of fun at the We Can Know thing, but what's going to happen to these people who gave up their homes and gave up everything to follow this harebrained idea that, I mean, if you look at their website, they don't even show any evidence to support why they think Jesus is going to return on that particular date. It's bizarre, and what's going to happen to these people?
And we did joke about people selling their homes a couple weeks ago, and apparently that's happening.
That's that kind of scares me, and it isn't just that people are willing to do this, because I think that no matter how crazy you are, whether you're a Jim Jones type or you're the Heaven's Gate cult, you're always going to manage to find someone that can follow you into some really, really stupid harebrained scheme. But it really frightens me looking at the amount of money it costs to get your motorhome painted and to drive it around the country, much less fund all of these billboards. A part of me wants to believe that this is just a fringe group, but more and more it's becoming more aware that this is really a large section of people, or at least a large section of people that are willing to spend a lot of money on forwarding this, and that's genuinely frightening to me.
Donovan, what form?
It does frighten me, too, because you always do get the group that will go into full-fledged despair when this doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But, absolutely. Yeah. There's...
I'm looking here. They got a quote here from Mr. Campion himself saying, I know it's absolutely true because the Bible is always absolutely true.
Oh, my
gosh.
So
we're doing this for the full-fledged true believers who they don't want to not believe.
And to me, that is dogma at its most scariest. When Jesus doesn't return in May, which we all know is what's going to happen, what we're going to see is people saying that they are not the elect, and then the huge depression that's going to emerge from that. And it's not going to be skepticism, which would be the smart thing to do, is Jesus didn't return. Well, obviously something was wrong. Instead,
they'll say Jesus did return and he just didn't give me the rose.
Yeah, and not only that, but I mean, these people have apparently, or at least some of them, have disassembled their lives and taken apart their security in order to follow this weird way of thinking. So,
and their children.
I mean, it's frightening, and it's really disturbing.
I am curious, ultimately, the tone that the CNN article take, Donovan. Could you fill us in on that?
It's a good, long article, and it seems to go into depth about them. It talks about such stuff like the previous predictions that can't be made, and seems to be almost a we can't believe these people are believing this stuff.
There is a long history of these sorts of predictions falling apart on people.
If you'll hit the Tacoma Atheists website, if you Google it, there is actually a very nice and well-written section that I was not involved with about the various end-of-the-world conspiracies and the people who've had to do things. And I encourage people to check that out. It's a very good index of that sort of thing.
And I think it's a good basis to say, if somebody's trying to rope you into an end-of-the-world scheme, please, please look at the history and say, you know what? If people were picking horses with this kind of record, would you give them money?
Yeah.
I'm going to put $4 on Jesus to show. Is that how that works?
Oh, given the odds, you would make a fortune.
Yeah, I think you would.
All right. Thanks a bunch, Donovan.
Thank you much.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Our next call, we have Matt from Memphis, Tennessee, and you'd like to talk to us about atheist morality. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are y'all?
Very good.
Hey, I'm going to start off real quick with something about the countdown to backpedaling, if you don't mind.
No problem.
I have honestly been getting a little sick of hearing y'all talk about that at the beginning of every show, until I was driving home the other day, and literally 2 blocks from my house in downtown Memphis, I see a huge sign that says, "We can know."
Sprouted up like a toadstool from chicken.
Out of nowhere.
It's almost like a Steak and Shake.
So I guess these things are everywhere. So anyway, that's renewed my interest in that a little bit.
That's the thing is, regionally here, there aren't a lot of signs. There are signs. I've got reports that there are local signs,
really?
Ladies and gentlemen. Yeah,
I'm not holding my breath over
in the east side, I'm told. But we are getting a lot of feedback on this. And this is why we keep talking about it, is it's obviously something that's very interesting to our listeners, save for you until recently, Matt. But everybody's like, yeah, what is going on here? Because this is the first time that, I mean, billboards about atheism and stuff like that have been in the media a lot lately. And this is sort of, I guess for atheists, this is kind of a big deal. Is somebody maybe saw us doing that is now doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's not only do you see these things, but usually they don't get so specific with a date. And this isn't the first time we've gotten a specific date. I mean, I know that Hal Lindsey said that the world was going to end in 1988.
Yeah.
spoiler alert, it didn't. And it's sort of funny that people keep getting roped into it, especially it seems to be on a worldwide scale. This can't just be the one group, Family Radio, doing it. They're working in conjunction with this entire web of groups,
absolutely,
all independently putting up their own billboards. I like to think of this as like the Bizarro World Earth 3 version of the atheist campaign, where they use the same phrases. But it scares me because I don't want to believe that this breed of Christian is as – there aren't as many of them as there really are. I really don't want to believe – I want to believe this is a tiny fringe group like Fred Phelps, but man, there are a lot of them.
Absolutely.
Well, can I say I personally do not know – I mean, this is Memphis. I know a ton of people who are Christians, obviously, but – I don't know a single person who doesn't laugh at that. I mean, I think it's a pretty rare breed of person. I know a lot of Christians. Nobody even remotely takes this seriously, so I wouldn't worry about it. I think the funding far exceeds the actual interest.
I agree.
I think there are some people who really believe in this and thus are willing to spend all of their finances and use all of their resources on this advertising campaign, because after May, these finances aren't going to count for anything, so might as well use them now. And that gives them the possibility, that makes them look a little bigger than they might be otherwise, because some people might be conservative in the way they spend their money, but they don't have to be in this case.
Could this be the same scam that was in the Mel Brooks movie, The Producers? Are they raising more money than they're spending on billboards? Because I guess I look at the campaign, and it feels like the act of a true believer, because I don't see these huge profits rolling in that they're basically swimming through like Scrooge McDuck. I'm trying to figure out what the motivation here is, because it seems like the billboard itself is the motivation.
Yeah, almost.
Maybe so. Well, anyway, Matt, I am actually pretty interested in what you called in about. You had a pretty intriguing question, so hit us with it, please.
I've been, there's been a whole lot, especially with the moral landscape coming out recently, a lot about atheism and morality, and there's been some, debates that have been, on YouTube and whatnot, especially the Matt Dillahunty one, specifically about atheist morality, and And I feel like one point that no one ever talks about, and maybe it's just so obvious from our point of view, is that is it even moral in the first place to worship something? I don't mean admire or respect or you know, have some sort of, you know, general reverence for something.
Right, right.
But I mean, that if there really is something like a personality out there, I mean, how could it possibly be moral
to
unconditionally worship that thing?
Yeah, to have unconditional affection for something, to me, would be against my moral code, because that puts yourself, part of what my morality is self-protection and protection of others. So if you put yourself unconditionally in the thrall of some entity, you are going to, that, to me, that is amoral. That is, in some ways, the definition of amorality. But that, and this is what I mean by in this case, my morality is a personal thing, and that's not something I would suggest to other people.
Something I find sort of unusual, too, is I think this may be an example of how people will partition their brain to hold two ideals that are largely contradictory, that you will have somebody who will wave the American flag and talk about things like freedom and liberty and rights, and on the other hand, they're talking about essentially a dictatorship, a monarchy, something that they will give all of their rights away to. There exists a being who can do whatever they want to them because it owns them. And that's the part that always really confuses me, is that you have people who talk about freedom, and then they talk about a dictator at the same time.
Right.
Yeah, it seems like people, I mean, they haven't gotten rid of the dictator. They're just, you know, they're just moving it one step out. I still understand how they're fitting freedom into all this. You're just moving the dictator into space somewhere. But I think the reason I bring this up is just as sort of an armchair, you know, debater. You know, I'm at the pub talking with BS friends or whatever, and I bring this point up.
Okay.
I don't expect it to really to do anything, but it always seems to stump people. I mean, I don't think theists think about this very much. I mean, what it means to
they don't actually put
in that position.
Put the psychology of it into place because they're not used to thinking of these in terms of psychology and whether or not it's a good idea to put yourself in the power. But we're actually we're getting pretty close to the break, so
sure.
you have a good day there. Did you have something to say about the morality end of it? Or?
Well, only that I tend to agree with you that morality is a personal thing, but my personal one does not involve unconditional bowing to the edicts of another being.
Right, absolutely. This is Ask an Atheist, and our subject today is you. If you'd like to give us a call, our phone number is 253-584-1480.
If you're an atheist or atheist-friendly person and you'd like to join the Ask an Atheist crew after the show for conversation, beer, hot dogs, and brats, it's happening at 5 o'clock at the Red Hot.
The Red Hot specializes in craft beers and delicious hot dogs and brats.
On tap now, Bear Republic Rivalry Imperial IPA, Boundary Bay Dry Hopped IPA, Pike IPA, Skagit River Helmet Pale, Velton's Pilsner, Silver City Panther Lake Porter, Bear Republic Red Rocket, Northern Lights Blueberry Cream Ale, Left Hand St. Vrain's Triple, Allagash 4, Old Tacoma Lager, Schooner Exact Imperial Project Porter, and Port Townsend Straight Stout.
Join us at the Red Hot, 2914 6th Avenue in Tacoma.
This is a 21 and over establishment.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an integral part of your business. But that's not all. We can set you up with VoIP, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to helping your business succeed through and with technology. At Tacoma Telematics, we are committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
Welcome back to Ask an Atheist. Our phone number is 253-584-1480. And the subject for today is you and interaction with you. If you guys don't mind, we can dive right into the email.
Absolutely.
Okay, so this is from Jim from the internet. Again, when you send us an email, please let us know where you are. So And this email is about politics and atheism. And this is partially addressed to me, and I think so the email goes like this. I think this was partly addressed by Sam in one of the shows, but I think it bears discussion. To my mind, atheism is a natural vehicle to respond to the religious right generally that would gladly install a theocracy if Jeff Charlotte's The Family is to be believed. Though atheists come in many different political flavors, we should be committed politically to church and state separation from the community level, what's with the school boards these days, for example, to the pervasive presence of religion at the federal level. We are certainly as cohesive a minority as the homosexual community, another group with disparate politics, but a shared agenda at the same political level. I would like to hear more about political atheism, for and against the validity of atheism as a political movement. This is something we talk about a lot, actually, on the show. Mike and I go back and forth on this.
I know that we as producers on this show have really committed to keeping our show nonpartisan. That
yeah.
There really doesn't need to be more than the definition of atheism, as we say, as simply no God. We don't believe in gods. You really can't pull a positive worldview out of that. Not in the same way that you could from, say, the Bible, which has an instruction book that, you know, if I had a question on, oh, I know a witch, what should I do?
Yeah.
It doesn't have that sort of thing. So I do think, though, there is a community that has sort of formed around it because of our minority status.
Absolutely.
And I think that this show wouldn't exist, for instance, if we were a majority. If the majority of the people in the United States were atheists, this show would really have no reason to exist. Part of the reason it needs to exist is that there are so many misconceptions about atheists. And I think that if we're going to take stands on political topics, I think that that has to be where it stems from. Whether it's church and state, you know, taking a stand on church and state separation, like if somebody's trying to get their fairy tales and fables pushed into a science class
right.
as a reasonable evidence-based alternative to the scientific consensus, yes, I think we should step in. I think we should step in openly as atheists to counter misconceptions about us, to let us know that we do exist and we do have morality. And I think that we should step up against things like attacks on science standards, a lot of things. Like, I don't think we should take stands on things like, say, healthcare or transportation unless there's something religious-based in there. Like, if there was a healthcare bill that said this amount of taxpayer money is going to be set aside for somebody's voodoo doctor or their crystals or homeopathy, that I think we should step in on.
Right. There are certain topics politically which have things directly to do with atheism, skepticism, and the separation of church and state.
Right.
And when those topics appear on the show, we will talk about them and we will have opinions on them. However, it is not our place to have an opinion on healthcare. It's not our place to have an opinion on
immigration.
These are not issues which specifically deal with atheism. And as producers of the show, we've decided for as much as we can to keep these topics for other places and other times. I mean, I may personally have my opinions about these things, but this is not the venue for that.
And I don't think the atheist movement is the venue for that either. Like, if I feel really strongly about a referendum that's on the ballot that has something to do with drug policy or abortion policy or whatever, it doesn't really matter what it is, the atheist community is not the prism through which I shoot my beliefs. I'm going to go to another group that agrees with me on that. That, like I said, just because atheism is not a worldview doesn't mean atheists individually don't have worldviews. We all have a worldview. We all have a philosophy.
Right.
I'm a skeptic. I'm a lot of things. But it really doesn't come from atheism. It just exists parallel to my atheism.
That's the important thing, I think, to keep in mind, that you can have political issues that exist parallel to your atheism and that maybe stem from the same places where your atheism stems from, such as being a skeptical person and being a critical thinker. But in terms of an actual political movement, as soon as you bring the word political into it, it takes it into a different realm. And I agree with Mike that there are certain arenas where it would be appropriate to have some kind of political involvement from organized atheists, such as, for example, protecting public schools from religious influence. I think that would be an entirely appropriate place for atheists to step in and to make a political statement. But in terms of actually sort of uniting around other issues, there's too much disparity in what individual atheists believe. And for that reason, it becomes kind of a sticky situation, I think, to create or to propose creating, really, or to maybe even imagine creating a political movement of atheists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go a little step further here, and I'll say my atheism doesn't affect my politics at all. It's too simple to affect my politics. However, I'm not just an atheist. I am a humanist. I am a secular humanist, and that definitely affects my political worldview. I mean, the atheism has very specific things: separation of church and state, whether or not there's religion in education, stuff that we've already talked about on the show and definitely have opinions about. For that other stuff, that's when I look at humanism, and that's not what we're talking about. And again, I don't want to get partisan, because the minute I get partisan, that's what the show is going to be about. We become part of that partisan debate. However, back in the scan days, when Libby was with us a little bit more often,
yes,
I put a question out to the list. Actually, back then, it was the viewership. I have never heard an argument against gay marriage that, at its core, wasn't sectarian.
I would agree with that statement.
I agree. I think a lot of the arguments that people will use against same-sex marriage generally are red herrings. And there was actually something, I know Tracy Harris of the Atheist Experience put this out once, and it was, ask yourself this. Look at the reason that you believe something. Write down a list of all the reasons you believe X. Now, cross out all of the reasons that if they were proven to be not true, you would not abandon the conclusion.
Right.
Because those are red herrings. And I found that in a lot of discussions about a lot of topics, including same-sex marriage, that once you cross all of those things off, the last thing on the list is God said so.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of – and this is my call to the listeners and to the folks on the internet. To me, YouTube. if you find a sectarian – a secular argument against gay marriage or abortion or stem cell research, any of these things that at their core are not sectarian – tell us about them, because we want to do a show about this.
Yeah, seriously, please tell us about them, because we're genuinely interested in gathering this information, because we put our heads together and we can't come up with any reasons that aren't God said so.
And we're not going to play the God of the Gaps game. It's just because we can't come up with an answer doesn't mean there isn't one out there.
The first time I tried this, we didn't get any real arguments. There was a lot of thought experiments. Well, it could be put together like this, it could be put together like that. And the only thing we came up with was that if there was an argument that – if there was a secular argument that worked against same-sex marriage, it worked against your regular distribution of marriage as well. Is there was no argument that was not religious in nature that could be attenuated to just same-sex marriage.
And like a lot of religious arguments, where a lot of the ones that they use to disprove other people's gods boomerang around on theirs.
Right. And this is Ask an Atheist, and if you would like to talk to us about this or anything else, it's 253-584-1480, and the topic today is interaction with you guys. And we shall we move on to the next one?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do this next one. I like this one.
Okay, this is this would be Nick P. from Ann Arbor. Love your show, and I'm a YouTube watcher. Well, not so much of a watcher right now. We've lost the cameras.
Well, if you like still images, it's fun to watch.
Yeah, one still image for an hour. Thought I'd get your take on an interesting, difficult situation that happened to me over New Year's. A friend of mine in high school came out as gay when he was about 15 and seemed more or less happy and well-adjusted afterwards. I'm gay myself and a few years older, so I was one of the people that helped him through the coming out process. Then one summer after I had gone to college while he was still in high school, he went to a Young Life camp and came back as both straight and evangelical-style Christian.
Well, the Christian part, I'll believe.
Yeah. I'll go with you there. If you don't know, Young Life is an organization that takes kids into the great outdoors, acts as a summer camp with all kinds of activities, and then blankets the whole thing with Jesus and his saving power. It's really very cult-like, as I learned from various people no longer belonging to the group. I wasn't an atheist at that point, so we mostly just had a discussion about the gay-not-gay changeover, and I'm not so narrow-minded that I can't accept the idea of someone sliding along the sexuality scale, so we came to an understanding and have remained friends. Now, however, my atheism has begun to bother him, while his mindless Christianity is starting to irk me as well. We had a long discussion over New Year's, and I tried to plumb his religious depths and figure out why he's holding on to ideas that I consider irrational and, well, stupid. The discussion was energetic but polite and respectful, and until I started explaining how the Bible's and God's morals are not where he gets his from. This was apparently a sore spot because he suddenly got very defensive, complaining that this was the problem with atheists, and why do you have to be so angry and mean towards Christians? I explained that I wasn't being angry or mean, but curious, and I backed off, but the discussion more or less petered out after that. When is it appropriate to continue to push a person to examine or abandon their faith, and when is it better to simply wait and let things cook around in their heads? How much is enough? And I'm sorry this went on a bit long, but there's a lot of detail in this. This is a pretty heavy email.
There is, and I'm really interested in this email because I actually had a very similar experience with another friend of mine to what you are describing here, Nick P. from Ann Arbor. Several years back, I met a young lady on an internet discussion forum who identified herself at the time as an evangelical Christian, and she and I began discussing, sometimes rather heatedly, Christianity and religion in general versus the stance of atheism. And long story short, over the course of several months of maintaining this ongoing conversation with her, by the end of it, she actually ended up deciding that she was an atheist. And not only that, but she felt comfortable enough at that time to also come out to me as being gay. So it was really an interesting experience. And I can tell you, I mean, if you are getting the vibe from your friend that he really is feeling uncomfortable with where he has, the kind of corner he's put himself into with being involved with Young Life and with the evangelical movement, if you really do think that he is sort of looking for an out from there, I think the best thing you can do is to just generally be a friend to him, listen to him when he needs to talk about something, allow him to ask any questions he wants to ask about why you believe what you believe, and give him honest answers. I don't think you should push to necessarily deconvert him. Don't try to prove anything to him other than what he asks you to prove. So if he is you know, trying to understand from you, well, where do you get your morals from? Don't you know, beat the question with a stick until it's totally dead. Just answer it straightforward and honestly. Tell him where you believe you get your morals from, and leave it open for the next question he wants to ask. I think the more you show him that you're a respectful, friendly person who cares about him as an individual, and not about necessarily what his beliefs are, the more comfortable he's going to be discussing this with you. And what I've found over the course of my life, and especially since becoming an atheist, is that the people who are really careful thinkers, when they start to become involved in discussions like this with other people who are careful thinkers, as I imagine you probably are, they usually end up coming to the most logical conclusions, shall we say. So I don't think you need to push it. Don't worry about it. Just leave the door open for him to approach you with any questions or concerns he has.
Yeah, I can't disagree with anything Libby says. As a friend, make yourself available. You don't have to push. Don't go on the offense. I think that that's the thing we do on our show, is that we don't push atheism on anyone. We Absolutely. Put our views out there and make ourselves available for people to question or challenge us. That we're not knocking on doors and shoving a microphone in a Christian's face. And I think that our friendships sort of have to be the same sort of thing. You make yourself available. But also, I'm glad that you realized that you weren't being angry and mean. And I think something I found with a lot of Christians in this country is that there is no polite way to say you're an atheist with some people.
Right.
That we can put up a billboard that simply says that we can be moral too, and you'll get outrage as a response to it. So just continue being a friend. And I guess you can say when to stop pushing. Ask yourself, if your friend was in the opposite position and wanted to push Jesus on you, at what point would you want them to stop?
That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah, good point.
And this actually comes right into something about the show, is that we get a lot from people in email and just talking to us about wondering why we are not more, for lack of a better word, evangelical about atheism, about going out there and spreading the word, making other people atheists. And that's not what we're about. I don't believe, and I'm pretty sure Mike is with me on this one, that merely telling somebody they should be something is enough to get them to convert. You can't scream at someone loud enough to make them an atheist. You can't scream at somebody loud enough to make them a Christian. You cannot do that just by telling them to. It's a process that needs to be arrived at personally. And what you can do, if I may borrow something from one of our favorite calls, plant seeds. just put ideas out there. Let them come to their own conclusions. The conclusions may not be the conclusions you want, but at least they're thinking, and that counts.
That does count. And you don't want somebody to come to that conclusion because somebody said so, because of an authoritative source. It matters why you believe something. And if you want them to become an atheist because they followed some charismatic figure, then they can just follow another charismatic figure in the other direction. I know that famous presidential candidate from back in the day, Eugene Debs, had said that you shouldn't follow me out of the wasteland because someone else will just lead you back in.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, thank you very much for your email. That's an incredible story. And we have a next email. It's from Lucinda Poe, and I'm going to hand this one to Mike.
Lucinda Poe, that's a surprisingly
yeah,
interesting name. But I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. If you're not familiar with Poe's Law states that it is impossible to determine if religious fundamentalism is a parody or the genuine article because the two are indistinguishable. So that's why we're laughing. Lucinda Post says, an uncle of mine often argues the veracity of the Bible and the things in it with the flat statement, I know it's true because the author is in me.
My goodness.
Oh, man.
Ouch, by the way. Referring to, of course, God. I never know how to argue with that statement because it's just so out there. Do you have any suggestions for how I go about confronting that idea?
Well, I think the short answer is you can't really confront that idea. I mean, basically when somebody says that, what they're saying is, I believe it's true because I have faith. And what that really means is nothing you can say can convince me. And at that point, the conversation's kind of over.
Yeah, when you untether the things you believe for why you believe it, that there isn't this long string connecting the two, you really can't talk to someone. It's like, I believe it because I have faith. And as we like to say, faith is pretending to know things you don't really know.
And if that's where the author is, I'm kind of remembering something Casey said during our scan days about sitting back and relaxing.
Yes.
Oh,
I'll
my.
Just put that out there. yeah, that is a person who has shut themselves off from logic and reason, specifically. I mean, that's someone who wants to be guided by faith, basically. And if faith is going to be your only guide, you're in a lot of trouble.
Faith can lead you anywhere, because the wonderful thing about evidence is that facts are very stubborn things. And when you uncouple yourself from facts, you can be led in literally any direction. Yes, Jesus may have stopped you from drinking, but he gave you a lot of other opinions, too.
Fair point. All right, this is Ask an Atheist, and our subject today is you. You can give us a call at 253-584-1480, and we'll be back after 2.
If you're an atheist or atheist-friendly person and you'd like to join the Ask an Atheist crew after the show for conversation, beer, hot dogs, and brats, it's happening at 5 o'clock at the Red Hot.
The Red Hot specializes in craft beers and delicious hot dogs and brats.
On tap now, Bear Republic Rivalry Imperial IPA, Boundary Bay Dry Hopped IPA, Pike IPA, Skagit River Helmet Pale, Veltins Pilsner, Silver City Panther Lake Porter, Bear Republic Red Rocket, Northern Lights Blueberry Cream Ale, Left Hand St. Vrain's Triple, Allagash 4, Old Tacoma Lager, Schooner Exact Imperial Project Porter, and Port Townsend Straight Stout.
Join us at the Red Hot, 2914 6th Avenue in Tacoma.
This is a 21 and over establishment.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an integral part of your business. But that's not all. We can set you up with VoIP, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to helping your business succeed through and with technology. At Tacoma Telematics, we are committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
Welcome back to Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And once again, our subject today is interaction with you guys. And our next email, if you'll take it.
Yeah, we've got one from Kate from Denton, Texas. And it says, this is for Sam and Becky.
Hooray.
Congrats on the wonderful news. I hope your life together is everything you hope it will be. I wonder what your wedding will be like. You should do whatever feels right to you, but it would be so cool if you had a camera set up to record it for YouTube or something. No pressure at all. YouTube doesn't likely fit into your plans. I know I probably would not want my wedding televised, but it would be so cool to see a secular wedding. I've never seen one before. And after watching all of the Ask an Atheist shows, it's almost like I know you a little. Do you want to take that away there, Sam?
Yeah, actually, I did talk to Becky about this one. And right after the engagement, I went back home to Chicago, which is why I got trapped on I-90 and all those places. And so my dad's favorite part, and he's going to listen to this, so I know he's going to get this, is apparently I was completely out of it. I lost my train of thought. I just completely backed off mentally. And at the end of it, Becky said, you know, thank you for the engagement. And apparently my response was, No problem. And he's like, that was so you.
That's kind of a Han Solo moment. There.
Wow, I have never been compared to Han Solo before.
And you may never again.
Yeah, I'm glad that was recorded.
Soak it in.
Yeah, I'll take it as long as I'll work with it as long as I can, anyway. So we basically decided I basically decided beforehand, and then I talked about it with Becky afterwards a bit, that choosing the venue I did in order to propose to Becky did mean a certain amount of public exposure. And a lot of our friends are in the atheist community here in Washington. I moved here from Arizona back in 2007, and I didn't know anybody here. And most of my friends are from the atheist community because it's like, well, I'm out of Arizona. I can be an atheist. And I didn't know any in Arizona. Little did I know I knew tons of atheists in Arizona. We just didn't talk to each other. But
importance of the out movement, by the way.
Very important, yeah. So I don't know that we're going to put the whole thing on YouTube or we're going to, live stream it or anything like that, but, there will be some involvement with the Ask an Atheist community. I don't think I can avoid that. So,
especially at the reception.
Yeah.
I do want to ask permission on one thing, Sam. This is something that I've wanted to do ever since I saw the movie The Graduate, and I couldn't do this to somebody without them knowing.
Okay.
Could I have permission to storm into your wedding and stop it?
Yeah.
Because Becky will certainly give me an answer later, but...
But are you going to then, like, haul Becky onto a scuzzy bus at the end of it and then sit there looking disenfranchised and confused?
I hadn't really thought that far ahead. I figured that I just want to bang on the glass and say no until security takes me away.
I've always wanted to see that happen. So
I want to do that.
I kind of want to see it happen, too. I am in favor.
I want to do it with the not being a jerk. I want to do it and not be a jerk at the same time. It's kind of like I've always dreamed that I could kick a door down and use a fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
But then I'd have to pay for somebody's door. And it's like, this would be a great moment, but I just ruined somebody's special day. And as far as the cost and risk there, just isn't worth it most of the time.
Well, I tell you guys what, Becky has definitely been surfing the wedding porn ever since that happened. She's asking me, well, do you wanna wear a tux? How do you wanna do this? And we're kind of laid back people, so we're not gonna make a huge deal about it. But we're definitely thinking about having an outside event, possibly at Wright Park, since it's just down the street. If you guys know Tacoma, but if you have some ideas about how you think a secular wedding should go. Definitely send us an email at askanatheist.tv. I'd love to hear your ideas.
Oh, I just had a great idea. You should ask Fred Phelps to protest
your
wedding.
I was just thinking that.
Oh, okay. So
Wait. Can someone just, like, tip Fred Phelps off? We'll pretend like we didn't know. It'll be a surprise.
I was thinking something completely different. Like, we'd get Cheney Stadium or something with stadium seating, and then we'd put them in their little protest zone, which is in the middle of the whole wedding ceremony. We'll make it actually a wrestling ring.
We'll
put it in its proper context, and the wedding just happens outside of their little protest area.
Just like kind of penned up right there.
Yeah.
Do you think Reverend Sun Myung Moon still does weddings?
Oh man.
You'd probably have to get married on the same day as a lot of other people, though.
Yeah.
You might save on costs, though.
Wed in bulk.
Yeah.
Just don't expect anything coherent coming out of the microphone from that dude.
If the proposal was any indication, don't expect anything worthwhile coming out of my mouth that day either. So, if you got some ideas, I'd love to hear them, and I'm sure Becky would too.
Klingon wedding.
No,
veto.
Yeah. Failed.
I love bad ideas when they don't affect me.
Okay, we got another email now that I'm thoroughly embarrassed. Becky's in the other room also being thoroughly embarrassed.
Yeah, this is the one from Joshua from the internet, right? That's next on deck here.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah. So Joshua from the internet writes, a topic I think is interesting is the supposed conversion of atheists to theism. Almost every apologist makes this claim for a short time at least. Is there any way to shed any little bit of light on this BS?
I know this is something that both Lee Strobel and Kirk Cameron do. Oh, I was an atheist once, and I love how they seem to think that this makes their argument stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But it really isn't. It's something I know politicians and religious figures do alike, which is making a meta argument. They aren't actually, it's like when the politician tells you about how someone challenged them at something and they tell a story about how they pwned them.
Right.
don't tell me a story about you using a pwnage argument. Just give me the argument. This doesn't make it any stronger because I think we know that people, including atheists, can be very stupid.
Right. Yeah, this hardly needs to be said, but I guess we might as well point this out. Just because you were allegedly at one time an atheist doesn't mean you were an atheist for an intelligent reason. It doesn't mean you arrived at that viewpoint because you thought about it. So the fact that you are now a theist doesn't mean you arrived at that viewpoint because you thought about it either.
Yeah, like, we can be dumb, too. I have met atheists who have said that they are an atheist because they saw the movie Zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Or that, you know, their Grammy died. Or, I mean, there's a lot of really bad reasons to be an atheist. The only one that really matters is, does your belief have a correspondence with the facts?
Mm-hmm.
Anything other than that is, it can be dumb. So a dumb person can believe dumb things for dumb reasons, and they can change their mind for even dumber reasons. So just because you've convinced somebody who's dumb, who is an atheist for a dumb reason, to believe something else that's dumb for another dumb reason, which, by the way, dumb reasons, that is the bread and butter of Christian apologetics.
Yeah.
It doesn't prove anything, and it doesn't make your argument better. Just give me the argument.
I'm very lucky in that most of my dumb ideas happen in the kitchen. Like, one day I tried to invent lemon macaroni and cheese.
Oh, that sounds, is a dumb idea. Wow.
And it sounds great on paper, though.
No, yeah, it doesn't.
But then so does the El Camino.
Yeah. It was the, yeah, it's kind of the El Camino of foods. What I accidentally invented was clotted cream, I think. But
we can still work with it.
I have dumb ideas, too.
Speaking of the dumbness of ideas, I just have to also point out, because it's kind of nagging at me, if you called yourself an atheist before, that doesn't make your theism more legit somehow, you know? And also there's this underlying implication in this argument of, like, I used to be an atheist, now I'm a theist. Like, basically, what they're implying is that if you were an atheist before, you have kind of more cred in general when it comes to thinking about stuff. So they're almost stabbing themselves in the back with this by saying that atheists are better thinkers. You should believe me because I used to be a better thinker. I mean, it's just weird.
It's actually strange. Before I went to Chicago, I was in L.A. To see that talk with Hitchens and Sam Harris and a couple rabbis whose names escape me. And
David Wolpe was one.
David Wolpe was one, and Becky will probably run in with the other name. And I was recognized out in front of the building by a guy named Donovan. Hey, how you doing?
I know. Isn't that spooky?
That is weird. I went to L.A. and was recognized on the street. How cool is that?
It's like a scene from The Fugitive.
Yeah.
You're totally just like Tom Cruise.
Except I didn't have to jump off a waterfall or anything like that. I mean, I wanted to, but...
What's stopping you?
I was in L.A. Waterfalls are probably not
water. Yeah, the rivers in rivers in L.A. don't have water in them.
So there was one of the rabbis, the name I can't remember, he was raised in the New York area by two Freudian psychologists. And he said he grew up in an atheist in a household and then converted to Judaism. In his case, I completely believe that. He was every inch the child of Freudian psychologists.
Wait a second.
I mean, it was...
What does Freudian parenting look like?
Oh, man, I don't want to know.
Don't play with your food. That's all I know.
All our fault.
Yeah. Do not watch your father smoke that cigar.
Right.
You can't punish your kids for anything because it's your fault.
Yeah. Well, hey. And I fully believe that guy came from an atheist household and had atheist leanings before he converted. In the case of, say, Kirk Cameron, who claims to be an atheist, I think it's more of a question that before he met a rather attractive Christian lady, he just didn't think about it too hard.
That would be my guess, too.
That process doesn't involve a lot of thinking.
No. Well, yeah. Just relaxing, maybe.
I find it kind of funny, too. Lee Strobel, who's another one who plays this game, he's the guy who writes a lot of those Case for Christ apologetic books and makes terrible arguments, even by apologetic standards. He actually has two different series of books that he puts out. The Case for Christ, and he has a Case for Christ for kids.
Yeah.
And he has a different about the author description on both of them. On one of them, he says that he's a former atheist. And on the one for kids, he says he's a former skeptic. I like that it's treated like it's a dirty word that they don't want kids to know exists. A word.
Don't say that. I will wash your mouth out with soap. I will turn this radio station around, young man.
We suddenly became a different show.
Yeah. Wow. We haven't heard the organ music yet. Well,
you just said organ.
Wow, I did, didn't I?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. All right, our next email comes from Alan here in Tacoma, and he says, "Hi, I just moved to Tacoma, and I don't know anyone. How can I meet some cool people without going to a meetup group? Those sound weird. I'm married, so I'm not looking for a girl or anything like we talked about earlier. Just some people to hang out with." Well, I live in Tacoma. I actually live in Tacoma. You're nearby, and you're actually kind of on the other end of town or the area.
Yeah, I have a car.
Meetup isn't scary. It's just not. Mainly because I know a lot of the places I hang out end up being meetups, whether or not I want them to be.
And, yeah.
Meetups are pretty low-key places to hang out. I mean, we just most of the meetups here are for Tacoma atheists. There's the book club, which is if you like books, that's pretty cool. I know there's a couple other ones, but for the social stuff, we get together every Wednesday, I believe, at Doyle's for quiz night, and that's
very fun. That was actually the first time I met you and Becky back when I was living in Tacoma before I came to the Tacoma Atheist Meetup for quiz night, and it was really fun.
That was when the show was just a twinkle in your eye.
Yeah, that was back in the day. And again, just because it has a notification on a website doesn't change it from just a bunch of people hanging out in a bar and having fun.
Yeah.
And Meetup isn't that scary. Once you get past the ceremonial chanting and the drinking of the blood, it's a lot of fun.
I've been to several different meetup groups for all different interests, including atheism, art, all kinds of things I'm interested in. I have yet to go to a meetup that was creepy in any way.
Yeah.
They've always been interesting, fun, full of really cool people, and I've come out of every single one of them with new friends.
That sounds like a challenge. I need to find you a creepy meetup now.
Well, it probably won't be that hard.
Well, I saw a few I liked. And, for example, there was a meetup this morning, the first Sunday of every month, Tacoma Atheists, as a brunch. I don't quite remember where it is, but just check the website. Come hang out with us. And like I said, we're just there's a bunch of us that just hang out, go into the meetups. And if you're just looking for an atheist social circle, that really in Tacoma is the best place to be right now.
We have a little gathering ourselves after every episode.
Actually, yeah. If you're listening to this, we're if you heard the commercials, we're heading to the Red Hot almost immediately after this is over. So
hot dogs and beer,
which is good because I'm hungry.
Yeah, I am too.
And that blueberry cream ale sounds delish.
Oh, and that that email that we opened up with the big battle royale between various you definitely should come to a meetup because that would. You'd fit in almost immediately. Just
yeah, you're awesome. We want to hang with you.
Superman.
So are we? Yeah, let's. Yeah, we got one more email.
Yeah. John Day writing to us from the internet.
From the city of Comcast, apparently.
From the city of Comcast.
Please, people, tell us where you're from.
John Day of Comcast.
Subject, no God. Body. I can prove there is no God. Are you interested?
No.
There's a lot of all caps words in that. No, the first thing I'd say is this written on your blog? Or is this written on a peer-reviewed journal? Because
right.
There's a big difference there. That means that you're wonderful. Oh, my genius. And it's like, why is no one else talking about this?
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're opposing the orthodoxy doesn't mean you're not true. Because people who think that gravity works by things falling up, they're fighting scientific orthodoxy too. It doesn't make them right. Also, I don't really care.
Yeah.
It's a non-falsifiable claim that no matter what you give us, it's going to sound a lot like the same reverse apologetic arguments we get where somebody is trying to argue God into existence and you're trying to argue him out. And you're basically playing tug of war with air.
Yeah, this argument does not work for me when it's a Christian or a Muslim or a Jew trying to explain this to me. You know, using just these basic logical arguments to show me that God exists, like, you know, well, creation suggests a creator, which is entirely semantic and weird. If it's not going to work that way, if I'm being fair, it's not going to work the other way. So,
yeah, my short answer is no, not interested because I've probably heard your proof that God does not exist before and found it faulty in some way or another. And you probably can't show me anything I haven't seen before.
Sure.
So,
I mean, yeah, like I started with my short one. No.
No. And again, if you're going to turn this into the language of logic, you're basically just taking Ray Comfort's argument and putting a tilde in front of it.
Yeah. Or in computer language, putting an exclamation point at the front. It's the same argument, just with a negation involved. And my long answer to that is still not particularly long. It's yes, let me know when you publish.
Good one.
Like you said, if it's on a blog, I don't care.
I don't care.
If it's a scientifically established thing that can be peer-reviewed and reviewed and gone over, then I want to see it. Like I told that guy in the bar when he came up to me and said, you wouldn't be interested in evidence for God. You wouldn't listen to it. And my answer is, yes, I would.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't be particularly happy, but if it was an open and shut case, I would have to move.
I would helplessly believe if the evidence was there.
Absolutely.
I'd love to be proven wrong, because for me, I care about being right. I want the things that I believe to correspond with reality as closely as possible. And if I'm wrong, I want you to prove me wrong.
Right. Well, wrong.
Correct. Right.
Correct. Yes.
Correct. So, yes. Give us something. Or better yet, John Day from Comcast, give us a call. We'd love to see this argument. And if it's something new, which I doubt it is, because these things tend to be the same thing over and over and over again.
Right.
But give us a try. I'm willing to hear it, but I'm not going to help pimp your self-published book.
at the very least, it might make for entertaining radio.
Absolutely. And that's all the time we got today for today. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you, Libby.
You're most welcome.
Ask an Atheist is a production of NEDM Media. Our call screener today was Scott Leopold. Our production assistant was Rebecca Friedman. My name is Sam Mulvey. You can contact us at askanatheist.tv. Click the red button and leave us a message. We'll see you next time.
If you're an atheist...